All right, what a day it's been. Things really escalated. We started with Liam Cohn backing out of the Jacksonville Jaguars coaching search. He had been the favorite. That makes Robert Saleh the favorite, and Robert Saleh has been the 49ers' top choice for defensive coordinator, but that entire turn of events combined with Trent Baalke's firing in Jacksonville, talking about some ineptitude at the ownership level, all of that is making us talk about 49ers' backup plans at defensive coordinator. And San Francisco's trying to perpetuate the Pete Carroll scheme. So is there any better way to perpetuate the Pete Carroll scheme than by hiring former 49ers defensive coordinator and San Francisco native Pete Carroll himself? So this is actually something with a little bit of legs at this point, thanks to the San Francisco Standard. My colleague Tim Kawakami reports, and the article is up, that there have been discussions about Pete Carroll, 73 years old now, inside the 49ers building about this vacant defensive coordinator post. So we have a lot to talk about. Let's delve into it. First off, this is also tied to the 49ers. I posted a video on this a couple hours ago. Trent Baalke is out in Jacksonville, and it's not just that. Baalke was a walking red flag for coaches interviewing with the Jaguars, Robert Saleh included. But his replacement is Ethan Waugh, who has Robert Saleh ties, because Ethan Waugh was in the 49ers front office or scouting department just with the 49ers from 2005 to 2022. Saleh was with the 49ers from 17 to 20. So Ethan Waugh, Robert Saleh connected. I had spent many videos effectively warning Robert Saleh. Like, if Robert Saleh had Googled his name and this Jacksonville job, he might have come up with one of my videos. Like, I'm not kidding. Sometimes it works this way. And I'm sure other people warned him about Trent Baalke, but we'll say that our videos also sent out that warning about Trent Baalke. Ben Johnson's behavior sent out a warning about Trent Baalke. Liam Cohen's behavior sent out a warning about Trent Baalke. Basically, Jacksonville finally figured out that maybe it's not a good idea to have Trent Baalke sitting around at the GM spot when you're trying to hire a coach, since it was scaring coaches away. So I don't know if Robert Saleh made a power play or if Liam Cohen's re-signing to be an offensive coordinator with Tampa Bay finally made Shad Khan, who is the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, to reconsider Trent Baalke's employment. But Baalke is no longer the GM of Jacksonville. Ethan Waugh, who has decades of 49ers ties, is the interim GM. And that may make that a more attractive landing spot for Robert Saleh, who has been the favorite for the 49ers DC job. But things are evolving. Things are changing. That is why we talk about Pete Carroll now. And I mean, this is so, so fascinating, because Pete Carroll links back to the 49ers in 1995, but it's much bigger than that because of the scheme that the 49ers run. So Kyle Shanahan, who is pictured up on the screen, he has already talked about a few parameters for this 49ers defensive coordinator job. He wants somebody with experience. He thought that Nick Sorensen wasn't experienced enough this past year. I think he was right. Sorensen wasn't able to adapt appropriately against stuff that came up because he didn't have enough time in the defensive coordinator's chair. So the 49ers want somebody who's been there, done that before, who has seen a lot of schemes. I don't think that Kyle Shanahan wants the Lord over the defensive coordinator's shoulder because he doesn't trust his level of experience. But then we could take another asset that Kyle Shanahan wants at that DC spot, and Tim writes about it in his piece, and that is enthusiasm. Nick Sorensen wasn't really the most electric guy on the sideline. Neither was Steve Wilks. They literally had to yank Steve Wilks out of the booth midway through the season and put him on the field because they wanted more enthusiasm, more energy from their defensive coordinator, more outward energy that could rub off on the players. That's obviously something that Robert Saleh had. And I will say that's something that this guy right here, Pete Carroll, definitely has, chewing the gum on the sideline, smacking the gum on the sideline. He's been one of the most energetic head coaches that we've ever seen. So experience and energy, those are both qualities that Pete Carroll obviously brings to the table. Then there is scheme familiarity, because Kyle Shanahan doesn't necessarily want to blow up a scheme that has been successful, highly successful for his defense over the years. He doesn't necessarily want to start over. He's willing to make significant changes, and he wants big-time adaptability and flexibility within games themselves from his new defensive coordinator, but he doesn't want to start at ground zero. Nor should he want to start at ground zero, because there are a lot of core things that have brought the 49ers a lot of success over the years. You don't have to blow everything up just because you had one bad injury-riddled year with a first-time defensive coordinator who wasn't quite ready for the limelight. Well, if you're trying to run the Seattle-style Pete Carroll defense, who better to run it than Pete Carroll himself with the appropriate tweaks for adaptability? I think there's a chance that the 49ers could bring in Pete Carroll and also Gus Bradley. Doesn't look like Gus Bradley is going to get a defensive coordinator job this cycle. Bradley was Carroll's first defensive coordinator in Seattle from 2009 to 2012. And it doesn't just have to be Gus Bradley, but look at where somebody like Robert Saleh had the most success with the 49ers. In 2019, Robert Saleh guided the number two defense in all of football. And it wasn't just because they were running a Seattle-style cover three from which Saleh had descended the whole time. The 49ers mixed in a lot of quarters cover four in 2019. And they did that with the guidance of Joe Woods, who's just a defensive coordinator under Dennis Allen, the defensive-minded head coach with the New Orleans Saints. Joe Woods, before he left to be the DC of the Browns, was the 49ers DB coach who was helping with a lot of schematic stuff, mixing the cover three and disguising cover four quarters with the cover three that came from the Carroll-Saleh type of tree. Joe Woods was there helping diversify the 49ers coverages in 2019. And that helped propel this defense to a level that, you know, I guess they did reapproach that level, but in a different way under D'Amico Ryans in the 2023 season. D'Amico Ryans' second year, 2022. Wilkes was 2023. D'Amico Ryans' second year, 2023, is when the 49ers were back up to the number one defense in football. But in 2019, it was a Joe Woods defensive backfield combined with Robert Saleh maturing on the job as the defensive coordinator that got things done. So when I talk about Pete Carroll and the potential that he comes to the 49ers, I also talk about the possibility that other names join him to help the 49ers create a defense that is both traditional and adaptable. So you have your experience, but you also have your ability to adapt on your feet. Gus Bradley will be available, maybe even Joe Woods himself will be available, and the 49ers have to be ready to be creative here, especially if Robert Saleh is signed to be the head coach of Jacksonville. Now, even if Robert Saleh isn't signed in Jacksonville and he comes to the 49ers, remember the Joe Woods 2019 success for the 49ers. Saleh, at his best, had a voice helping him diversify his coverages. And I think diversification of coverages in the NFL, diversification of blitz strategies in the modern NFL is extremely important. So it's not just going to be about the defensive coordinator hire. It's going to be about who the 49ers hire around him. With that said, let's take a look at Pete Carroll's history. And, you know, when we talk about Pete Carroll's history, we should go back and get the famous picture from 1995, because this is a story that intertwines deeply with 49ers history. And it just so happens that the defense they currently run ties back to what Pete Carroll ran in 1995 and extends back even before that. I think this is just some really cool stuff in general. So buckle up. We're going to go on a history lesson. We're going to talk about the Leo edge rushing position, and we're going to go all the way back to an era of George Seifert, who was Bill Walsh's defensive coordinator, starting in 1983. Anyway, Bill Walsh takes over in 1979. 1981, he hires a DB coach named George Seifert, who was born and raised in the city of San Francisco. George Seifert actually went to San Francisco Polytechnic High School, no longer there, but that was the high school that played its home football games at Kezar Stadium, which was the original home of the 49ers. Seifert became defensive coordinator in 1983, NFL's best defense in 84, 49ers win the Super Bowl at Stanford Stadium. Seifert develops a 4-3 unit, the 4-3 front, with an edge rusher called the Elephant. That edge rusher for the 49ers in the late 80s, moving into the early 90s, was none other than Charles Haley. That helps lead the 49ers to big-time Super Bowl success. They also win in 88, and they win in 1989. Charles Haley, the Elephant pass rusher under George Seifert in both of those years. At one of the NFL combines or coaches meetings, I think it was the combine, Pete Carroll has talked about this before, George Seifert meets a younger coach named Pete Carroll, this guy right here. That meeting turns into a very promising discussion between Carroll and George Seifert. In 1977, Pete Carroll had been a graduate assistant at Arkansas. His boss there was Monty Kiffin, the creator of the famed Tampa 2 coverage. So Pete Carroll, I'm sure, talked about the Tampa 2 in his meeting with George Seifert in either the 80s or 90s, whenever that was, at the NFL Combine or one of the NFL annual meetings. And George Seifert, I'm sure, talked about his 4-3 defensive front. They got along so well, and Pete Carroll, born in San Francisco back in 1951, Redwood High School alumnus, not Redwood in Visalia, California, Redwood in Larkspur, College of Marin alumnus, University of the Pacific alumnus. He was intrigued by the opportunity to come back home to San Francisco in 1995. Carroll failed as the head coach of the Jets in 1994, kind of like Robert Saleh failed as the head coach of the Jets in 2024, 30 years later. Pete Carroll joined the 49ers and George Seifert's staff as defensive coordinator for that 1995 season. So what happened there is that Pete Carroll was able to take the 49ers' four-man front principles from George Seifert, hybridize them with a lot of what he knew about the Tampa 2, which he started developing all the way back in Arkansas under Monty Kiffin as a graduate assistant, and they created a super defense with the 49ers in 1995 that ranked number one in the entire NFL. It was literally the best unit in the whole league. The reason the 49ers didn't repeat as champions in 95 was because they didn't have an offensive running game. But the defense was fine for San Francisco. It was a really, really good unit in 1995. Such a good unit, in fact, that it was just a one stop for Pete Carroll. Well, 95 and 96, it was 2 years, but it was a short stop for Pete Carroll over 1995 and 1996. And it quickly prepared him to be hired as the head coach of the New England Patriots. So failed head coach of the Jets in 94, goes back for some coach rehab with the 49ers in 1995 and 1996, operates the number one defense in the league while he's with San Francisco, learns from George Seifert about the 4-3 defensive front that the 49ers had succeeded with throughout their dynastic years, incorporates some of the Tampa 2 stuff with that into his overarching philosophy, and then leaves to the New England Patriots, where, again, Pete Carroll struggled as a head coach, didn't work out from 1997 to 1999, but of course we know what he did at USC after that. He won all those national championships, rehabilitated in the college game, returned in 2009 to the NFL, this time with the Seattle Seahawks, and he was able to take all that he had learned under George Seifert, Monty Kiffin, throughout his two failed head coaching stints, and then maybe even some of his time at USC, took all of that to create his Seattle-style defense, which ended up winning a Super Bowl in 2013. Now, the first coordinator of the Seattle-style defense in 2009 was Gus Bradley, who just got fired from the Indianapolis Colts. That's why we talk about Gus Bradley potentially coming with Pete Carroll to San Francisco in a wildly advanced version of the scenario that Tim wrote about today. There's Pete Carroll shaking hands with Kyle Shanahan. But the defense that the 49ers run now, the defense that the 49ers might be interested in Pete Carroll helming, is a direct descendant of the defenses that they ran in their dynastic years in the 1980s and 1990s. How about that? Crazy stuff. Now, we do have to remember that Pete Carroll right now is one of the candidates to be the Raiders head coach. And I've already talked about the Raiders screwing up 49ers plans today. Back in 2018, the 49ers wanted to trade with the Raiders for Khalil Mack, and they offered the Raiders more than the Chicago Bears did, but Mark Davis decided to trade with Chicago instead. Would Mark Davis be willing to spite the 49ers by hiring Pete Carroll just so he couldn't be the defensive coordinator of the 49ers? No, I wouldn't go that far. I'm just joking at this point, but it is a consideration to have right now. There's so much up in the air. I mean, it's fascinating that today is the day that Trent Baalke is out in Jacksonville. That makes Robert Saleh a much more legitimate possibility to actually land the Jacksonville head coaching job. Saleh had been the favorite for the 49ers. Maybe he still is. Who knows how that's going to shape up. But Pete Carroll now is being named as a San Francisco option. And, you know, remember that Kyle Shanahan was open to Bill Belichick last year. Kyle Shanahan was and is somebody that I think would really benefit from true experience on the defensive side of the ball, because, I mean, I really think that Kyle Shanahan has had to get too involved over the course of the past two seasons. I think the great thing about 2022 for the 49ers was that D'Amico Ryans, it didn't take him long to really learn the ropes as a defensive coordinator. And that defense could roar. Kyle Shanahan could roar as the play caller on the offensive side of the ball. There was nothing to worry about. By 2019 and 2020 with Robert Saleh, not a lot to worry about for Kyle Shanahan. Back half of 2021, not a lot to worry about for Kyle Shanahan. D'Amico Ryans had figured it out. We now know in retrospect that Kyle Shanahan was interested in Bill Belichick coming along to be the defensive coordinator for the 2024 season, but Belichick wasn't interested in being a DC. It could be that Pete Carroll won't be interested in being a DC either, but this would not be unprecedented. Remember, Sean McVay in his first 3 years with the Rams, 2017, 2018, and 2019, had a former head coach, a veteran head coach, an older coach in Wade Phillips as his defensive coordinator. And the Rams went to the Super Bowl in 2018, and the reason they lost wasn't their defense. Wade Phillips actually coordinated a hell of a game in that Super Bowl in New Orleans. They didn't give up much to the Patriots at all. The reason the Rams lost was because of Jared Goff. So we have seen one of these younger, hotshot offensive play caller head coaches bring in truly experienced defensive coordinator help before. For the Rams, it was Wade Phillips from 2017 to 2019, and for the 49ers, maybe it will be Pete Carroll from 2025 moving forward. I do think, and this is my main point, I'm going to bring this back, regardless of whom SF hires, if it's Robert Saleh, if it's Pete Carroll, if it's somebody else, scheme diversification is going to be key. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. In 2019, they might have picked up Nick Bosa and Dee Ford and started to build an awesome pass rush, and that was one part of the formula. But if the opposing quarterbacks are getting the football out in less than 2 seconds and not giving your pass rush any sort of chance to get to the QB, it's not going to work. You have to have both rush and coverage to operate a successful defense. And the 2019 49ers had the benefit of mixing up coverages with Joe Woods and the quarters, the cover four coverage with the cover three. And Woods, again, he's going to be available this offseason. He was the coordinator of the Saints under Dennis Allen, and that entire staff is getting replaced. So we have to remember that the underlying hires and the underlying staff construction is going to be important. It's not just going to be hire Pete Carroll and everything is going to go to the Legion of Boom days. Pete Carroll and the Legion of Boom days had Dan Quinn, who's now the head coach of the Washington Commanders. He had Robert Saleh on his staff in 2013. He had a lot of guys. He had KJ Wright, who as a linebacker, kind of a coach on the field. He had Bobby Wagner, who's still playing right now. Now, KJ Wright is an assistant linebackers coach for the 49ers. And if energy and fire is really important to San Francisco, that could be a coach that they're grooming for a much larger role down the road. So say 73-year-old Pete Carroll comes in and Gus Bradley comes in to help him. Maybe even Joe Woods comes in to help with some of the 49ers coverages just for old time's sake, because he did such a good job of that in 2019. Say the 49ers bring in that entire power structure. There's still the continuity question to answer. You still want to make sure that you're not having to go to four defensive coordinators in 4 years come 2026 or five and five come 2027. You want to make sure that you have got some kind of succession plan built up, because they ran dry in the succession plan, and that did lead them to Steve Wilks, and that led to a domino effect that's been problematic for the continuity of their defense. So maybe somebody like KJ Wright, Legion of Boom linebacker, was known as one of the really brainy guys on that Seattle defense, who went to coaching, who the 49ers really like, who brings the energy that Kyle Shanahan thinks is necessary on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe somebody like KJ Wright could be the defensive coordinator that the 49ers are preparing for the future. That's just some food for thought. But KJ played under Pete Carroll in Seattle. And, gee, what better way? He developed under Pete Carroll as a player. What better way to develop as a coach than to develop under Pete Carroll and Gus Bradley, his former defensive coordinator, as a coach? Just some food for thought while I'm considering the entire staff. I think that the headlines are going to be focused on one name. They're going to be focused on Pete Carroll. Maybe my reporting here or my talk about Gus Bradley will draw some aggregation, but it's not just going to be about Carroll, Bradley. It's going to be about the larger picture of this staff. And I bring that 2019 coverage diversification up as an example, because that's the kind of stuff that makes a great defense. You've got to be ready in this NFL to be constantly counter-moving in a chess match. So a lot of people will say about Pete Carroll, oh, this guy is old. His defense is late in his Seattle tenure. Weren't nearly as good as the ones early in his Seattle tenure. The league has passed by these guys who are running only a cover three zone. And today I say the league is going to pass by anybody who's only running one thing. You're constantly having to reinvent yourself. I mean, Kyle Shanahan himself is going to have to reinvent himself this offseason to be a better play caller for the 49ers in 2025 after 2024 did not go well. So it never is going to be Pete Carroll and his ideas from 2013 or 2014. What you're getting is the experience and the energy of a coach who you count on along with his staff, because the staff is so important, to think on his toes, not on his heels. And so much of leadership at the coaching level is about CEO-type delegation. Even as a defensive coordinator, you may not be the head coach, but it's about, okay, you tell this guy he's going to handle coverages. You tell this guy he's going to help you with adjustments. This guy's going to help you with run defense. And then as the CEO, as the coordinator, you're doing the coordinating. You're literally having to take all these different ideas, all these different contributions, and you're in charge of the coordinated implementation of all of them. And I think that Pete Carroll did a really good job of that in Seattle back when they had the talent early on. First, it was Gus Bradley as his DC. Then it was Dan Quinn as his defensive coordinator. Ken Norton Jr., who became the DC a little bit later, was a linebackers coach for that Seattle team. Robert Saleh was helping with the linebackers. They had a really good staff, and Pete Carroll, as the head coach, was the CEO of the entire operation. The 49ers now, I think, looking for a CEO of their defense. And that's where this Carroll discussion comes in. Anyway, the history, I think, is awesome. Carroll, born in San Francisco, and I talked about George Seifert, born in San Francisco, went to San Francisco Poly High School. Pete Carroll went to Redwood High School in Marin, and then College of Marin. Pete was classmates with Robin Williams throughout all of high school, and then college as well, College of Marin, before he went to Stockton to play his four-year ball at the University of the Pacific. So I think he's the same age as Robin Williams. Obviously, the Marin County ties are there. The ties to the city of San Francisco are there. And then the ties to the 49ers are there through the defensive coordinator stint in 1995 and 1996. And when you talk about scheme and you trace this back to George Seifert, who Bill Walsh promoted to defensive coordinator in 1983 as a guy with only 2 years of DB coaching under his belt. And you talk about the elephant position. I got to tell you about that elephant position. The 49ers, they had a player from Africa, defensive end from Africa, Israel Ifeanyi from Africa in the early, I want to say, I think it was the mid-90s. I actually think it was when Pete Carroll was there. They were still calling the defensive end position, the elephant, and the player, this guy Israel, I guess called, Pete Carroll's told this story before. He called his dad back at home and he said, they have me playing the elephant. And his dad, I guess, lost in translation because the position was called the elephant. It was the Charles Haley position. The dad thought that they had his son like acting like an elephant out of practice. So the 49ers are like, okay, we got to change the terminology here. So they stopped calling the position the elephant and they started calling the position the Leo. The Leo is the outside edge rusher. And then when San Francisco later moved to the wide nine in 2019, the outside edge rusher became an even more emphasized thing because the defensive ends were further stretched apart along the offensive line. You look up that story from Pete Carroll. He actually told it to us in 2017. If the 49ers do bring him back to be their defensive coordinator here in 2025, I'm sure that we're going to hear that story again from Pete Carroll. I hope that I'm recounting it as well as possible, but I do think it was an edge rusher that San Francisco brought in the mid-1990s when the position was still called the elephant, but that spurred the change to Leo. In fact, I'm going to read it. Let me bring that story up. It's such a good story. Type in elephant. Here it is. I got it. We found Matt Barrow's story from the Sacramento Bee, back when Matt was still with the Sacramento Bee in 2017. Right here. Israel Ifeanyi, who was born in Nigeria and was the 49ers' top draft pick in 1996. Here's what Pete Carroll said. We brought him in the day we drafted him, and he called his father in Africa. He said, I've been drafted into the NFL. They want me to play elephant. And I never thought that father could ever understand what his kid was telling him right there. I play in the NFL, and now I'm an elephant. So Pete Carroll said, in time, we adjusted the word. That's all. They changed it from elephant to Leo. I think that means left out, edge outside. I'm not sure what it's an acronym for, but they don't call it the elephant anymore. However, the 49ers and these 4-3 schemes still do have that position, although the wide nine has now, I think, further evolutionized. Is that a word? It's further evolved. Yeah, it's further evolved that defense. Evolutionized is definitely not a word. Complicated stuff, but it does all trace back to an earlier point in 49ers history, which I definitely am fascinated with. All right, if you have any questions about what's going on, let's bring them to light right now. 49ers Q&A. We're going to call it a 49ers Pete Carroll Q&A because I think that's more fun. The 49ers Pete Carroll Q&A is ready to go. With Trent Baalke gone, do you believe that Saleh is a lock for Jacksonville, or do the 49ers have a chance? Do you believe Jacksonville is a good fit for him? So I don't know exactly how the process of Trent Baalke getting fired went, but the summary to me seems that the Jaguars just let their coaching interviewees fire their general manager. It probably happened for good reason, but a competent ownership would have replaced Trent Baalke on its own a long time ago instead of figuring it out through the interview process. So we know that Aaron Glenn didn't even want to interview with Jacksonville. He ended up signing on to be the head coach of the New York Jets. We know that Ben Johnson came out and said that he didn't like the setup in Jacksonville, which I think is a very direct way of saying that he didn't want Trent Baalke there, and Ben Johnson ended up signing to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. We know that Liam Cohen, who at this time yesterday was the favorite to be Jacksonville's head coach, we know that he chose to instead remain the offensive coordinator in Tampa Bay. So that's three candidates who did not want to touch Trent Baalke. So now you had Robert Saleh, And you had Patrick Graham, the Raiders defensive coordinator. You had two options and Trent Baalke still there. And then all of a sudden, Trent Baalke is gone. They say that they parted ways with him, which means that they fired Trent Baalke. So it took the coaching search for the Jacksonville Jaguars to figure out what the rest of the world already knew, that Trent Baalke is a toxic asset when it comes to dealing with head coaches. Whenever a general manager survives the firing of multiple head coaches in multiple different franchises, so Jim Harbaugh and Jim Tomsula with the 49ers and then Doug Peterson with Jacksonville this past year, whenever that happens, word gets around the league. Like, coaches talk. They're like, hey, this Baalke guy, you may not want to take a head coaching job with him as the GM because he's going to backstab you. That's the kind of talk that you hear amongst NFL coaches. So Jacksonville finally figured out that the reason that they were having trouble hiring a new head coach was because of their former GM, Trent Baalke. So they went ahead and fired him. Now, I don't know if it was because Robert Saleh said, I'm not coming there unless you fire Trent Baalke. I think if Saleh was paying attention to anything we were saying, anything a lot of 49ers people were saying, he would have been smart to do that. I said the other day, Saleh should be asking way more questions in his second interview than Jacksonville is asking of him because of the Baalke red flag. Regardless of how it happened, Baalke is now out. And I think that it is very, very pertinent to note that Ethan Waugh is in as the interim general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Ethan Waugh was with the 49ers from 2005 to 2022. So he straddled the Baalke and the John Lynch eras. He dealt with Robert Saleh. They had an overlap in San Francisco from 2017 to 2020. So that raises the chances of Saleh to Jacksonville significantly. And I think just in general, if you are a head coach, especially one with some experience about how things work in these franchises, if you're vying to be a head coach for a franchise and you do have some experience like Saleh, you want to go to a place where the head coach and the general manager join in the same year. Anytime that you join a franchise where the general manager is already there or the coach is already there and vice versa for coach and GM, you're setting yourself up for a power struggle. We saw it with Rand Carthon when he joined the Tennessee Titans and Mike Vrabel was already there as head coach. A year into Carthon's tenure, Vrabel gets fired. So they put in a new head coach, Brian Callahan. And then a year into Callahan's tenure, Rand Carthon gets fired. So you got this constantly rotating carousel where you never have the coach and the GM on the same page. And that's the kind of stuff that leads to power struggles at the top of the organization. Remember that Trent Baalke started back with Urban Meyer. That was a really dysfunctional beginning for Jacksonville. So that's how things work in the NFL. And I think that when the 49ers brought Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch in 2017 together, and that succeeded, that's been an obvious success with all the games that the 49ers have won since 2017. And they built that up from complete scorched earth. And that scorched earth that Trent Baalke himself left them after the 2016 season. That whole experience has guided a lot of the league. A lot of the league has emulated what the 49ers have done. Saleh was there watching how well that experience worked. So I thought that Saleh would be crazy to take a job with Trent Baalke as the existing GM. So the fact that Baalke is out, yes, it does make Saleh much more likely to take the Jacksonville job at this point. Although it does, you know, the way that Jacksonville dealt with Trent Baalke, the fact that they couldn't just fire him along with Doug Peterson, that they kept him aboard and then fired him in the middle of a head coaching search, that tells you something about the competence of the ownership. The ownership doesn't look like it knows what it's doing. Maybe Saleh should also pay attention to that, since it doesn't seem like the ownership with the Jets, his former employer, knows what it's doing either. I've already told the Woody Johnson story about why they fired Robert Saleh. They fired him because he lost the game in London and Woody Johnson, the former ambassador to the UK, was embarrassed in front of his British friends. Well, Saleh knows a thing or two, or he should know a thing or two about incompetent ownership. And it doesn't seem like Jacksonville is giving off much better vibes. So there is a chance that Saleh doesn't take the job because he doesn't like what ownership is doing. Maybe they fired Trent Baalke to try to impress him, to try to show hey, we do know what we're doing, but there still is a chance that Robert Saleh is a little bit more selective. And like Pete Carroll in 1995, he leaves a Jets head coaching job that he got fired from and joins the 49ers. Saleh could follow that step, but there's a chance that he also signs as head coach of Jacksonville and San Francisco has to go to other options, namely this guy, Pete Carroll, whose name has come up in the 49ers building as a potential defensive coordinator option. This is all complicated stuff, but it is all intertwined with a lot of very interesting history. We're going to go back to the Pete Carroll Q&A. Mike is upset. 700 viewers, but only 98 likes. That kind of insults me too. I think there need to be more likes on the video. That's not a good view to like ratio. Now, this is good content. I know you guys aren't getting, well, you're definitely not getting thumbnails like the one that Mike made for this video anywhere else. I mean, this right here, check this out. This is high quality work. Very high quality work. But we just went through the entire Tampa 2 cover 3 evolution that goes back to George Seifert and Pete Carroll. I know you guys aren't getting that anywhere else, so do us a favor and hit the like button. Now Mike put my face on the thumbnail as well. That's cool. I should put that one up on the screen. But you can see my face here along the thumbnail, so I don't think we have to do that. That was the original thumbnail. Just had two photos of Pete Carroll. 30 years apart. I mean, doesn't look bad for 30 years later, right? Pete's one of those guys. Seems a little bit ageless. That energy, I mean, Energizer Bunny. And if the 49ers want enthusiasm and if they want energy, then Pete Carroll is certainly somebody that's brought it before. The 49ers have enough gum for Pete Carroll. Yeah. That could be one of the drawbacks, right? And it's not, again, it's not only about one hire. It's about the entire defensive staff that they build. And I have to keep on going back to the 2019 example of Joe Woods being the 49ers DB coach, because that's the best defense they've had. That and 2022 with D'Amico Ryans, which was also a really good staff. These are big, big undertakings. It's never about just one name. Mike says you could pay Pete in gum. You don't even have to pay him a salary with money. You can pay him in gum. I'm taking a look at some other one of these questions, and then we could launch off our discussion from there. Yes, this is actually true. Let me rewind a little bit more. Thank you. Thank you to this comment, because this helps take it back. The original elephant was Fred Dean. Started with Fred Dean, and then we talk about Charles Haley, but I'd be remiss in my dive into 49ers history if I didn't take this back to Fred Dean, the guy who hardly lifted weights but was one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. Fred Dean actually smoked cigarettes in the weight room instead of lifting weights. Yet he was one of the most dominant pass rushers in the NFL. The 49ers traded with the Chargers for Fred Dean in 1981. It helped push them over the top into their first Super Bowl. Then he had some really good years for the 49ers, some really big production for San Francisco, 1981 to 1984. George Seifert became the defensive coordinator in 1983. So when that elephant position was coined, Fred Dean, I mean, it was a star edge rusher that you can isolate on one side and just have him do work, have him wreck one half of the offensive line. So Dean was the original elephant. After they lose him following the second Super Bowl win over the Miami Dolphins, Charles Haley becomes that piece. Obviously, they lost Charles Haley to the Cowboys. That was a trade that makes the 49ers cringe looking back at it in retrospect. But that elephant position, they were still trying to find a replacement for Charles Haley in 1996 when they drafted the player that I told you about. And that's when they decided to change the name from Elephant to Leo. And then the Seahawks, the Leo for them was Cliff Averill back in the 2013 Super Bowl winning days. It turned into a true speed rushing position as the league evolved. But it, to me, it's just fascinating that Pete Carroll, 30 years apart, 49ers days, Seattle days, three decades apart, you can trace the lineage of the Seattle-style defense back to George Seifert and the 49ers. And the fact that San Francisco decided to pick up that Seattle-style defense when they brought Robert Saleh in 2017, and then has since modified that defense, but the base structure is still there. The fact that you could trace what they're doing now back to Fred Dean in the early 1980s when the 49ers were winning their first Super Bowls, to me, that's some of the coolest stuff out there. So when Pete Carroll's name came up today as somebody that the 49ers have discussed in their building, if you like football, you just got to start geeking out. I mean, this is really neat stuff. It gives us a chance to talk about it, regardless of whether or not Pete Carroll is going to be interested, regardless of whether or not the Raiders do sign him to be their head coach. It gives us something really cool to talk about and contextualize how this 49ers defense has developed over the years. Do I think the 49ers will hire a new defensive coordinator by Friday? Part of me wishes they will. Part of me wishes they won't, so I can keep on making videos about this entire saga. And I really don't know. I think that the Saleh thing, if they don't hire Saleh, if Jacksonville hires him as a head coach instead, that opens this up to take a little bit longer, for sure. And in that case, we'll just buckle up and we'll wait. At least we have something to do in January, guys. On Sunday, we're going to be at Team Bars in New York City to watch the NFC and the AFC championship games. I texted Richard Sherman not that long ago to ask him about Pete Carroll and Gus Bradley and some of my theories. And when he gets back to me, I'll let you guys know what Richard thinks. If you want Richard on the show, give it a like. More likes we have and the more thumbs up we have in the comment section, do both. Give it a like and a thumbs up. We could get Richard on here and start to have a lot of interviews over the course of this offseason. That's one thing we're going to try to bring more of, interviews over the course of this offseason. Maybe Sherman would be a perfect first one. And those of you saying Sherman as an assistant, I hope that you realize that Richard Sherman has a nice job on TV right now. Those typically pay better than assistant coaching jobs. Not as much of a grind. So if you can land one of those TV jobs, that's probably what you're going to do. Just kind of how it works. But I think that we should talk to Sherm if Carroll and Gus Bradley and whoever else, you know, KJ Wright's already on the staff. I think that that would be the perfect interview to tie everything together. Remember in 2018, the 49ers were so insistent on establishing and implementing Pete Carroll's Cover 3 Seattle-style scheme that they had prototypical tall cornerbacks that they signed the prototype himself. Richard Sherman himself joined the 49ers in 2018 to be a coach on the field and then a really good player for San Francisco for a couple years. So I don't think there would be anybody to talk to that'd be better than Richard Sherman right now. We will get Brad on again. We got a lot of people chanting Brad's name on here. Should probably just text him this video right now. And then he'll, is he live right now? We'll see if Brad is live right now. Sometimes he's live at the same time. We'll go to VSF Niners. He does a great job. You guys should follow him. the SF Niners. Here we go. Yeah, he is live. There he is. Brad. Everybody who's watching Brad, go let him know that we shouted out to Brad. You go let Brad know in his comment section that I'm telling people they should follow him. He has a show going on right now. Say hello to Brad. Does a good job. We'll get him on again at some point. Brad is a worker. No, I'm not texting him. I'm shouting out to him. Somebody told Brad that I'm texting him. Tell him that I'm shouting out to him. Tell him that we're giving him some love on our own channel. Right there. I could see people watch two shows at once. Cool. So Keith, you might have just joined the show, but I'm going to use your comment right now. You say, please no more of the cover three. I spent like 10 minutes delving into it's important to diversify coverages. You can't just run cover three all day and expect to succeed in the NFL. These offenses have evolved. You mix in quarters, right? The cover four quarters. You mix in a lot of stuff, but cover four is what I use as an example because the 49ers did it so well with Joe Woods in 2019. You always have to be ready to be a step ahead in the counter adjustment game with opposing offensive coordinators. So it's not just about Pete Carroll. It's about the coverages that the 49ers can hybridize with whatever he brings. And that's when you bring, that's when you field the best defense. Remember that Pete Carroll himself took the Tampa 2 coverages from Monty Kiffin when he was that graduate assistant at Arkansas under Monty Kiffin in 1978. He took those principles. That was the beginning of his experimentation, and he combined it with what he learned from George Seifert, somebody who'd idolized for a long time, met at the NFL Combine, and then joined in San Francisco in 1995 and 1996. He took ideas from different places, hybridized them, and created the monster that we saw in Seattle from 2009 to probably about 2017 before that defense started losing steam. It was a long time that the Seattle Seahawks played some good defense. And that defense built a coaching tree of its own. Gus Bradley, who I was talking about a little bit earlier, Carroll with Gus Bradley. Dan Quinn, who's going to be coaching the Washington Commanders this weekend. It's going to be against the Philadelphia Eagles. KJ Wright comes from that defense and now is on the 49ers staff. He could be a good long-term solution for defensive coordinator if the 49ers can develop him as a coach. I mean, now we're starting to get in back to the Bill Walsh spirit of abundance, right? The ability to build out a massive coaching tree because you're combining good ideas and you're fostering relationships under the roof of your building. So the 49ers have done a lot of that in their history. Pete Carroll's done a lot of that in his history. He's from San Francisco. I see why San Francisco would at least mention his name and be interested. And at the very least, even if this is something that does not come to fruition, it is something that is worth talking about. Absolutely. All right, guys. Pete Carroll's name has come up. This was a fun show. Thanks, everybody, for joining.